The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Into First Take. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karen Rose. Gentlemen, how we doing?
I'm all right. How y'all doing? Good morning.
Ready to go.
Good, all good. Marcus Spears is going to be with us.
Hold it.
In just a sec. Yeah.
Molly said good morning. I said good morning. Max Kellerman, where is your manners? Good morning, Max Kellerman. Good morning, well, sir.
He said it.
No, he did it. He said
I said it, Stephen A. I did, but I'm on, like, a slight delay here because we're in different locations. So there's nothing I can do about the space-time continuum. I'm trying.
I'm checking, Molly. He sounded a little bit like Shaquille O'Neal right there, mumbling a little bit. I was just making sure. Now we can go.
Keeping everyone on their, P's and Q's. Guys, by the way, I hear we have Swagoo joining us. Marcus, are you here? Marcus Spears.
What's up, my people?
Why is he here so early?
Why is he? It ain't Sunday morning. I don't need a pastor right now. I mean, why he got to be here so early?
Wait 1 minute. Wait 1 minute. Ooh, first of all, I just got returned. Stephen A., I killed you about the Beetlejuice suit. That thing nice today. That thing sweet today, man. And look at Max with his business attire as usual. And Molly, obviously, always is the sunshine of First Take. So let's get on with the show.
You notice, Molly, that Marcus got a nice cut. He looked like, I mean, the wife gave him a nice shave and all this. It's looking smooth, Big Dad. It's looking smooth, big bro.
Bold and beautiful.
I appreciate you.
Okay. Let's go.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Now that we all complimented ourselves, are we ready to do this? Our self-esteem is high and we're ready to go.
We ready.
Listen, I don't know about this dress. I'm actually rethinking it. It's blinding people. The Packers did not alter Aaron Rodgers' contract last Friday, a source told ESPN, and paid a $6.8 million roster bonus, as is rather than converting it to a signing bonus, which would have freed up more than $4.5 million in salary cap space for this season. However, they would have pushed that money to future caps, therefore increasing what Rodgers would count on their 2022-2023 years. Did you guys get all that? I'm sorry, I read that really fast because I was trying to get through it. Stephen A., is Rodgers more likely to win a Super Bowl in Green Bay or elsewhere?
I say elsewhere. I don't see him staying there. Look, I mean, this is just the latest example of a lack of appreciation as far as I'm concerned. I understand the finances, Max Kellerman. You don't have to bore us with that. They're saving $4.5 million in cap space and all of this other stuff. But essentially what you're doing is you're doing everything that you can to prepare for a future without Aaron Rodgers. That's what you did when you drafted Jordan Love. That's what you did when you didn't bring in wide receivers. That's what you did when you sit up there and you're making fourth down calls without consulting with Aaron Rodgers and taking the ball out of his hands in the NFC Championship game because Matt LaFleur did not want to go that route. I mean, far be it for him to depend on Aaron Rodgers, to keep the ball away from Tom Brady with a little over 2 minutes left when Tom Brady, all he needed was a first down or two to seal a victory in the NFC Championship. Oh, far be it for Matt LaFleur to do that. So this is just the latest example as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, you gave him the roster bonus, but in the same breath, what you're doing is giving indication. You know what? This man may not be a part of our future plans. Let's make sure that we do what we can as an organization to position ourselves to be competitive without him. But who thinks about being competitive without Aaron Rodgers when he clearly shows that he has so much football left in him? I'm sorry, when I look at Aaron Rodgers, I see this brother doing what he did, at least to a similar level, for the next 3 or 4 years. He's got that kind of an arm. He's got those kind of skills. He's got that kind that cerebral approach to the game. He's a brilliant football player. He's a bad man, okay? All right? And in the end, if you are the Green Bay Packers and you're making moves that show Aaron Rodgers is not the priority, to me, it's a mistake, it's a misstep, and it will be something that they will ultimately pay for when all is said and done.
Rodgers is much more likely to win a Super Bowl with the Packers than anywhere else. First of all, he's still great. Secondly, they already wasted that year of his career, right? Drafting Jordan Love instead of getting him a wideout or a weapon. And yet, guys, quiet is kept and not enough people are talking about this. Packers should have won the Super Bowl this year. They should have won. Like, the fact is, everyone's talking about, and I highlighted the fact that the Chiefs were missing both their starting tackles against the Bucs. Well, guess what? The Packers were missing Bakhtiari against the Bucs. So JPP had his way with the backup, right? He put in that work, and it really tipped the balance of power in that game, tipped the scales. And even then, the Packers should have won that game. Missing their starting left tackle and best offensive lineman, the Packers still should have won that game. There were two blunders. Rodgers blundered when he had daylight to the end zone. It would have been at worst 4th-and-1 if he didn't actually punch it in. And then coach blundered by taking the ball out of Rodgers' hands and handing it to Tom Brady. With all of that, the Packers barely don't get into the Super Bowl by the skin of their teeth. Now, that's year two, Rodgers LaFleur, right? Year one, they won 13 games, beat Seattle in the playoffs. Year two, they win 13 games, go to the NFC Championship game, suffer injuries, suffer a blunder from the quarterback, a blunder from the head coach, and so they don't win the Super Bowl. They'd have beaten the Chiefs when you look back at how messed up the Chiefs were on their offensive line. Worse than the Packers. I mean, that's just what it is. Now where are the Packers? The Packers are really a very complete team. What do they need? They need to replace an offensive lineman. They have a draft coming up, by the way. They have all their draft picks. They need a guy in the secondary. And what else, really? Like, they don't really don't need – they have everything else. They have receivers and a great number one receiver. They have multiple running backs and an excellent number one and a young kid they just drafted. They have a defense, minus maybe one cornerback. But, again, there's a draft coming up, and they're not going to have to draft a backup quarterback or anything. The Packers are in one of the best positions of any team in the game. And Rodgers is more comfortable increasingly in LaFleur's system. Not only do I think he's more likely to win a Super Bowl with the Packers than anywhere else, I believe he will win a Super Bowl with the Packers in the next couple years.
Well, listen, Aaron Rodgers is going to win a Super Bowl elsewhere. He's not going to win one in Green Bay. They've had four chances at it. He's got one out of that. We talk about Aaron Rodgers and looking at all of these other quarterbacks. Max, you got to understand the landscape in which Aaron Rodgers is looking. Tom Brady left New England, went won a Super Bowl. Matt Stafford just signed with the L.A. Rams. Like, this league is getting harder. Like, I know you think that they can retool, and I understand the thought process between Aaron Rodgers, but other teams are making moves out here too to get better. And Aaron Rodgers is watching his team stand pat. So when you think about moving forward, Aaron Rodgers already in a I would say an unknown relationship, right? It's always left to the imagination for people to interpret how this thing is going. But obviously, Aaron Rodgers is looking around the league and saying, yo, I need to try to win a couple more Super Bowls. Does he think he can do that in Green Bay? I don't think he can. I just saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers re-sign Ndamukong Suh and Donovan Smith today. I saw him re-sign Shaq Barrett and extend Tom Brady and keep Godwin. I saw Matt Stafford go to the LA Rams with a defense that's still going to be really good even though they lost some pieces. Like, this is not getting any easier for Aaron Rodgers. And as much as he plays at the highest level at the position, this team in Green Bay has shown that they cannot get over the hump. It was a one-year quarterback with no offseason, and granted, it was Tom Brady, with a lot of players that they brought in during the year that got beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and went to. I don't care. I don't care, Max. You could say lucky. You could say.
But that
whatever.
Means that the Bucs.
They
that
won
means
the Super Bowl and they beat the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay.
Got it. But in the fourth quarter, it's still a game. And they're missing their left tackle. And the Bucs are loaded. And Rodgers blunders. And the coach blunders. So the point is, that game could easily tip the other way. And the Packers are going to get better next year.
What year?
Max is famous for talking about what should have been. You know what, Max? Damn it, Max, I should be bald, but I still got some hair on my head. You still try a new suit sometimes, but you don't. The fact of the matter is that there's a whole bunch of shouldas and couldas and wouldas. I saw the Green Bay Packers down like 28-10. They were coming back. And when you bring up the conference championship game, excuse me, that ain't a product of Matt LaFleur. That's a product of Aaron Rodgers. How do we know this? Because with McCarthy, who a lot of people believe shouldn't even be a head coach anymore, there were two conference championship games in 14 and 16 that the Green Bay Packers went to before they fell. What's the common denominator? Whether it's McCarthy coaching or whether it's Matt LaFleur coaching, it's Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. One of the greatest we have ever seen. And we're looking at an organization, and what do we juxtapose that to? We look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What's going on with Tampa Bay? Tom Brady, numbers-wise, didn't necessarily have a better season than Aaron Rodgers. But you know what he had? He had leadership. And guess what happened? The organization showed faith in him. Bruce Arians said, what do you need? What do you want? Because Tom Brady is so great, we're going to defer to him. This is the personnel he feels he needs. These are the pieces that he needs in order to win. We're going to roll with that. What does Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers do? They do what the hell they want, regardless of how Aaron Rodgers feels. They basically tell him to shut up and play. Figuratively speaking, that's exactly what they do to him. Shut up and play.
Well, that's a different argument.
And be satisfied with it. Maybe if you prioritize what he feels would be in the best interest of the team in terms of what he needs in order to explode,
should they
you
give
would
him
be
more
right,
respect?
But you're not. Period.
Yes, they should give him more respect. However, because they already used that pick on Jordan Love, this draft is simply to improve a team. A team that won 13 games, went to the NFC Championship game,
they went because
and
of
was
him.
Unlucky not to win the Super Bowl
they went
last
because
year.
Of him.
And you're, of course, he's
unlucky.
The biggest. He is the biggest part of it.
Unlucky.
But if you took Aaron Rodgers off the Packers, you would look at the Packers and say, they're one great quarterback away from being Super Bowl contender.
One great
and he's
quarterback.
That quarterback.
You
they're
have
not
any
letting
idea
him go
how ignorant
anywhere.
You just sounded just now. Oh, we were one
Max,
great quarterback.
Max,
like that grows
all,
on trees or something. Go ahead, Marcus.
But he's the quarterback.
We're not talking about. First of all, you just said you believe they'll win a championship. You didn't say anything about being a Super Bowl contender. Everybody in the damn world know the Green Bay Packers are a Super Bowl contender with Aaron Rodgers on their team.
Yeah,
a few points I want to make. One, you talk about Tampa getting lucky in the playoffs. Tampa beat them to sleep in the regular season as well with that same quarterback that came over to a new football team. Aaron Rodgers had to create a miracle to beat the Dallas Cowboys to go further into the playoffs to get a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers came away with another championship in the playoffs because they said Dez Bryant didn't catch the football. Max, this isn't new.
Like,
this
Aaron
isn't
Rodgers
something
is that
just...
Dude.
Bro, first of all, it ain't about Aaron Rodgers. The question is, Rodgers more likely to win a title with the Packers or elsewhere? Me, myself, and Stephen A. said
Marcus,
elsewhere.
What do the Packers
you
need?
You're talking about they were. What do they need?
What do the Packers need that they can't
more
get in this
weapons,
draft? They
Max,
need an offensive
more,
lineman,
more.
A cornerback, maybe a receiver. They have weapons. They need maybe one more receiver. It's a receiver deep draft.
Max, so? So what? They've done that for years. They've tried to bring guys in for years. They've been to NFC championships. Guess what they haven't been to, Max? A Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is concerned about winning a Super
Run the
Bowl.
Ball in,
he ain't
Rodgers.
Concerned about being a contender or any of that. Like, if we look at what the NFC has been and what they've done, and you think about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, they're contenders because of him. He makes everybody better. He elevates. But the Packers ain't been dumb about surrounding him with players. They went out and got Preston Smith when he was rushing the pass at a high level. They went and got the other Smith brother when he was rushing. They've tried to do things from a defensive standpoint. And might I remind you, while we're talking about being unlucky, do you know the Green Bay Packers defense created 3 turnovers that the Packers only got 6 points out of in the NFC Championship? So let's not forget and get all enamored with the fact that Aaron Rodgers is going to be in Green Bay and they're going to win a Super Bowl. They've had good teams, Max. That's why they've been to the NFC
they
Championship.
They have one cornerback that gets picked on. They're going to address that in the draft.
Max, so one cornerback is the reason they didn't go to the Super Bowl?
I just said there's a whole bunch of reasons, and it took all of them to keep them from winning the Super Bowl this year. They're one of the best teams in the NFL, and they're not going to let Rodgers go anywhere, and I don't think he's done winning championships.
I don't think he's done winning championships. I just don't think he's going to win one in Green Bay, which is the question. Number one is, I'll say this and I'm going to leave it alone. You can do whatever you want to do with the Green Bay Packers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers brought a new team with no offseason, put together a roster, and won the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay going on his 17th year with one Super Bowl, NFC Championship appearances, and never getting back to the game. He's going to win a Super Bowl elsewhere.
What is in that cup, Stephen A?
It's tea.
Seem to be enjoying
it's tea. I do enjoy it, especially when you're talking. It distracts me from listening to you from time to time because of the dribble that comes out of your mouth. I mean, that is the reason I like drinking my tea.
After some of the stuff you say, I wonder what you spiked that tea with.
Sip that tea. That's what I do all day. I just sip my tea and listen.
I have West Indian man, you know. I have West Indian man. I like my tea with my honey and my milk.
There you go. Bring that up.
St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. I have West Indian man. I love my tea.
USVI.
Yes.
Meg's Bay. Okay. That's the spot. I love St. Thomas. Going to the Caribbean soon. I can't wait. It's been a while. All right, Marcus, you'll be back with us in just a bit. Good times as always. I just want to mention again that Aaron, you have it too, NFL player. Aaron Rodgers had the best QBR in the NFL last season, completion percentage, and you're on TV too. No one feels sorry for you. Tiny violin. And passing touchdowns.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Now I'm ready. Stay ready. Make sure you tune in tomorrow because Hall of Famer Ray Lewis joining the show. We'll ask him about his Ravens and if he sees Lamar winning a Super Bowl in Baltimore. Ray Lewis, Thursday on First Take. Meanwhile, James Harden is playing through the pain and carrying his team. Mr. Consistent. He continues to dominate 25-7-17 in a win against Dame and the Trailblazers. And oh, by the way, without either Kyrie or KD. Co-host of the First Take, Her Take podcast, Chinne Ogumike, is joining us right now. Where's my girl? There she is,
and
that beautiful smile, Chinne. Good to see you.
What's up?
Yes, I see you.
Nice to see you.
West Coast
Stephen
now,
A, can I
even though you're really
tea?
Houston.
Can I have
Excuse
some
me?
Of that tea?
No. I don't
can
share
I have some
my
of that tea, Stephen A?
I don't share my tea. I keep it to myself. I'm
sorry. We miss you in Cali, Stephen A. We do.
I'm
you too,
back.
Max.
Oh, I'm coming
of
back.
Of course, Molly.
I'll be back in a week. I'll be there.
Okay, good.
Oh,
just making sure.
Okay, but... Okay, bi-coastal, settle down.
Ain't no
Max, I'm starting
I'm
with you. Oh, settle right down. The ego, I don't even know how you fit in that little box right now. Ain't no sunshine when I'm gone. I don't even want to know who or what you're talking about. Max, should Harden be a favorite for MVP? He's on one.
He is a favorite for sure. I think now that, look, in the beginning of the season, up until he got hurt, I thought Embiid was the MVP of the league. Then once Embiid went down, okay, it's got to be LeBron. Because those guys, LeBron hadn't missed any time, missed one game before the All-Star break, was carrying the team, no AD, the whole thing. Now with LeBron down, yeah, Harden's there with, I think my two other picks right now are Jokic and Damian Lillard. I think those three guys are all in the mix because LeBron's going to miss some significant time, and so is Embiid. Look, the argument against Harden originally for me, not to put him ahead of the other two guys I just mentioned, LeBron and Embiid, is because he missed time with his team, with the Nets, and his play in Houston and then subsequent, like, not benching, but kind of taking him out of the lineup in Houston means he couldn't be available, obviously, for the Nets and wasn't playing at a very high level in the beginning of the year anyway. But look at what happened to Houston since he left. They fall apart. And look what he's doing in Brooklyn, playing, I think, the best ball of his entire career, which is really saying something. He's carrying the team without KD. KD's barely been there. And yet the Nets are a powerhouse. And now he's doing it without Kyrie. So that beginning portion of the season he missed, which would put him behind LeBron and Embiid, now to me, you can throw that out because those guys are missing time. And given the fact what happened to the team he left and the team he went to, and given what he's had around him, it's a big three, which is really a lot of the time just a big one or at most a big two. I think it's Harden, Lillard, and Jokic. It's a three-horse race right now. Harden is right there.
See, Wait, Molly.
Let me get him. Let me get him, because I know where you're going, Molly.
Definitive.
I know where you're going, Molly. I know where you're going. I'm not going to just get on the vagueness of it all, him being all around the block, up the block, down the damn avenue, and everywhere else. I'm not going to even go there.
One place.
Didn't we just have a discussion yesterday, Molly, when he was talking about Damian Lillard, and now you don't even mention him in your top three? I mean, what the hell?
I just did. I just did.
What did you say?
I said Lillard and Jokic and Harden.
You said Jokic.
He said Lillard.
I have. All right.
Yeah, should James Harden be the MVP favorite? That's what I asked. Should James Harden? I didn't ask for your top three. I didn't ask for your candidates or who it was yesterday, Dame Lou, today. Is James Harden an MVP favorite? Only James I'm asking about.
Right now, if I have to pick a favorite, you're going to say, pick one, I'm going to say Harden, because in addition to everything else I said, he plays in a major media market and gets more attention. So
hold
if
it,
I have to
it,
say there's
it,
a tiebreaker,
hold
that's it,
hold
Harden's the
major
favorite right now.
Major media market has nothing to do with the question of how you sure feel. Does. She didn't ask you about Brooklyn and it being in the media capital of the world, New York City. Molly asked you how Max Kellerman feels. You, how do you feel? Should he be number one right now?
He shouldn't be number one if you're asking me how I feel. I would have Lillard a hair above him,
okay,
and then Harden, and then Jokic.
Okay.
If I'm forced to put them in order, according not to what I think is going to happen, but my own opinion.
Right. I thought that on first take, it was automatically assumed that we were asking your opinion. I apologize that we had to explain that to you. Max Kellerman, who's been on the show for 4.5 years.
I'm sorry, I had to explain that to you.
Okay.
Favorite
anyway,
refers to
I'll be quiet. Here's the deal. Harden should be number one right now, considering the fact that LeBron is out. Embiid is out, okay? And because of that, I look at Harden right now because I had Harden in my top three. The bottom line is this. Damian Lillard should be in the argument. I get all of that because he's averaging 30 and he's been absolutely sensational. But they're 4.5 games worse, about 4 games worse. They're like the 6th seed in the Western Conference. Harden's a game out of the number 1 seed. He hasn't had Kevin Durant available to him for at least 20-plus games. The same could be said for Kyrie Irving, who's missed about 12 or 13. James Harden, and this is where James Harden and Damian Lillard are worthy of being brought up together in this one instance, Janae. The availability matters. The fact that James Harden goes out there night in and night out and has been doing it for years is something special to behold. See, when we talk about an MVP, I don't want to just look at numbers and I don't want to just look at heroics. I want to look at reliability. The fact that I can trust that no matter the circumstances or the conditions, you're going to show up to perform. And I don't think that James Harden gets nearly enough credit for that. The brother does not like to take time off. He shows up. And when you consider the numbers he's putting up, the leadership that he's provided, particularly from the point guard spot, I'm going to put Damian Lillard in the discussion, but I got James Harden at number one right now, considering the fact that both LeBron and Embiid are injured.
And Stephen A., I will give you a clear answer, contrary to Max. Yes, he should absolutely right now, to this moment, to this second, be the favorite for MVP. And I know it's complicated because James Harden is a polarizing player, but you mentioned it. Like, we knew we were walking into a season, which I have called it two seasons pretty much wrapped into one with 71 days in between for the finals teams. We knew that the best quality a player can have is availability, and the best chance at a team's success is health, and health has been a huge factor in the MVP conversation. So on paper, yes, James Harden should be the front runner for MVP in this moment. He's first in the NBA in minutes played. He's averaging, what, a triple-double almost, 25 points, leading the league in assists. And now, you know, you see this situation where Brooklyn has maintained their standings, you know, second in the Eastern Conference standings, one game back from the 76ers. He's kept them afloat amidst all of this change. And the reality is, missing AD and the Lakers losing in that interim five straight has hurt LeBron James's chances, the same way it's hurt Joel Embiid missing the last few weeks. That hurt his chances, because I had Joel as MVP sort of at All-Star break. But standing in the midst of all this chaos and all this change, you know, as a beacon of dependability is James Harden. You know, as a person that was born and raised in Houston, Texas, I call myself Chanae the Stallion, 281-713-832, you know the area code. I think a lot of people feel some type of way about how, you know, things went down with James Harden. But as an athlete myself that has sort of forced the trade, low-key, he's dealt with the criticism. He showed up. He showed out without KD and now sometimes Kyrie. And now he's onboarding Blake Griffin. We all know how the story goes. James is a polarizing player. His step backs, him getting to the foul line. But the fact that he's been able to turn the public discourse around so quickly is a testament to how valuable he has been. So he absolutely right now should probably be the favorite. Even though,
And hold on, Max, because this is the point that I want to make to you, Max, as well. One of the times, and listen, even and in fairness to you, you've basically, you know, made a 360 turn in that regard when it comes to, or at least a 180 with James Harden. From the standpoint, so many people will call him selfish. He's been anything but in Brooklyn. He has led. He has been selfless. He has balled out. And he has been incredibly, incredibly dependable. To take over point guard duties and to run this team and to have players raving about your leadership. We never thought we'd hear that from people playing with James Harden. That's exactly what we've been hearing in Brooklyn. I didn't say you said it. I'm just talking about you talking
I never
about
did a 180 because really? I never said he was selfish, ever. I never thought of Harden as a selfish player. I thought of him as a choker in the playoffs. I still need to see him elevate in the playoffs, but I never thought he was selfish. I thought that was always totally overblown. And in fact, I stood up for him when that subject would come up. I never considered him a selfish player. He's playing an even more unselfish game. Like, his team needed him to score all the time in Houston. They need him to do some other things in Brooklyn. He'll do what the team needs him to do, and availability's big. He played with real neck stiffness and soreness. A lot of guys would have taken the day off. He didn't, and delivered his team a win. I just want to mention something about Damian Lillard. What's Portland played? 43 games now? What is
41, I think. They're like 26 and 15. They're like 20,
41 of them? 25, he don't miss 22, games. 42, you act 42. Like Lillard does miss games. He's averaging.
No, that's why I said I brought, that's why I brought Lillard up.
And almost 8.
That's that what I mentioned. I said Lillard and Harden don't miss games.
He's averaging 30 and almost 8. And by the way, just like Harden, and this is why, to me, Lillard's right there. Because the argument you can make for Harden, he didn't have KD, and now sometimes he doesn't have Kyrie. Well, we all know Lillard has less around him than Harden.
Harden went to a new team. Harden went to a new team. Or Nurkic. Harden went to a new team. But Lillard plays in the Western Conference.
But no player has ever won MVP while switching teams.
Right.
So this is on pace for James Harden.
So what you guys are saying,
I think that's Stephen A's point.
What you guys are saying
We know what we're saying. America knows what we're saying. We're confused about what you're saying.
Hold up. What you guys are saying is Harden is having a more impressive season because, look, he also switched teams. He did this, he did that.
There we go.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about who's more valuable. Okay. Lillard's been there the whole time. Okay. Lillard doesn't miss games. Lillard's carried a team in a harder conference, racked with injuries, with less talent than the Nets. Lillard's putting up 30 points a game with almost 8 assists. If you make the argument for Harden, all the arguments you make for him apply to Lillard.
And that's why we said Harden and Lillard. We just have Harden number one because he went to a new team and he's doing what he's doing. That's number one. Number two, it's just amazing to me. You really, really think that you have to define what the word impressive means to people? You really think that?
Thank you.
You think we don't know the difference?
You're bringing up stuff that has nothing to do with value.
I mean,
MVP. You're bringing up stuff that has nothing to do with value.
Excuse me. Again, he goes to a new team. He's more dependable than the two cornerstones, the two supposed cornerstones of the franchise. They're one game out of the number one seed in the Eastern Conference.
By the way,
Conference with Philly, an Eastern Conference with Milwaukee. We can't ignore that as well. The bottom line is that when we look at Lillard's been balling, which is why he's in the conversation. But he's been on a team with those players. He's incredibly familiar with the ones that he's got left outside of Nurkic and C.J. McCollum. That
What's
wasn't
that
the case
with
Harden,
value?
Which is not something to ignore.
What's that? No, that's what I mean. You're not talking value now. You're talking what Harden is doing is more difficult, more impressive. What's that got to do with value to your team?
I'm sorry.
Lillard's been there the whole time, done everything Harden did,
that has
been there
something
the whole
to do
time.
With it. That's why you shouldn't talk basketball, because that does have something to do with it. It absolutely does.
Thank
Go
you.
Ahead,
that's
Janae.
More impressive?
Okay.
You're seeing his value with where the Rockets were to where they are now. But, yeah, go ahead, Molly.
Thank you, Janae. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate that. All right, a couple things I need to say here. The Nets are an NBA best, 11-1 against the West, okay? They play the Jazz tonight. Stephen A., you're going to do the pregame show before that, potential finals matchup. Also, Charles Barkley was on Greeny's radio show just a few moments ago. He said Harden is the MVP. And my last note here, check out the First Take Her Take podcast with your girl, Janae, and Charlie, and Kimberly
That's the crew
Martin.
Right there.
They have a new episode
Let's go.
Every Wednesday. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. To the NFL we go, fellas. Matthew Stafford has made the move from Detroit to L.A. After swapping spots with Jared Goff, the Rams are all geeked up to have him. Here's what their GM, Les Snead, had to say. Quote, the key word is opportunity. It's a rare opportunity to have a chance to bet on going from good to great at that position, especially where our team was, our core group of players and where they were in their careers. The coaching staff just felt like it was just too good an opportunity to pass up. Max Kellerman going from good to great with Matthew Stafford.
Another MVP question for you, sir. Will Matthew Stafford be an MVP candidate?
He will be. He'll be an MVP candidate this year. There have been plenty of seasons where halfway through it's like, hey, is Stafford in the MVP conversation? But he's playing for the Lions. And his receivers, when he had any good ones, were always hurt. And otherwise was playing on bad teams. He can't also play defense and also catch the ball, etc. And so, you know, by the end of the season, even some seasons his numbers were there, comparable with some of the best in the league. He was not in the conversation. But he's better than Jared Goff. That's why to get out of the Goff contract, they had to include two firsts and a third to get Matthew Stafford. And we're going to find out ultimately in the playoffs, can he be great? Is he just good or can he be great? But in the regular season, guys, this Rams team made Jared Goff look like an MVP candidate two-thirds of the way through the season the year they went to the Super Bowl. Remember? We're saying they have three MVP candidates, like, in the second half of the season, all on offense in Gurley, or two on offense in Gurley and Goff, and then one on defense with Aaron Donald. Well, Stafford being better than Goff and now having a much better situation, obviously a better head coach. I mean, look at Matt Patricia versus Sean McVay, especially in terms of the offense, let alone the overall team record. Stafford should be on a winning team, on a playoff team. He should put up big numbers. And whatever he does in the playoffs, in the regular season, I expect him to be in the MVP conversation.
I'm not going to disagree with it based off of what you're saying, because I understand that I expect this defense to be elite. And because I expect this defense to be elite, obviously he's going to have more opportunities to really showcase his offensive prowess, because he'll get the ball more, because he'll get more opportunities. The defense will see to that. But as long as Aaron Donald is on that team and this defense is elite, Aaron Donald is going to be an MVP candidate before Matt Stafford. That's just the bottom line. Cam Akers can run the football effectively. I like Robert Woods. We all know that Cooper Kupp can ball too. We get all of that. But this defense is real in L.A. with Jalen Ramsey in the secondary, with Aaron Donald going after the passer, with the help and assistance that they've got on the defensive side of the ball with Brockers and others. The bottom line is I expect their defense to be so elite, and Aaron Donald, I apologize, is going to be the face of that defense. I believe that would get in the way of Matthew Stafford being an MVP candidate. But that's really the biggest reason why I don't view him as being an MVP candidate, because I think there's a name on his team that'll come even before him when it comes to MVP consideration. I expect Aaron Rodgers to have a big year as well, even though I expect Green Bay to somehow get in the way. I expect Tom Brady, now that you know what, he's won a Super Bowl in Tampa and he's got the same crew coming back, I think that they're going to have a big year as well. We don't know what the deal is going to be in with Russell Wilson. I expect Patrick Mahomes to come back in a very, very big way. Josh Allen, I think, is going to continue to ascend. There are other candidates that we'll be talking about and we'll be pointing to long before we even get to Matthew Stafford, and I think one of those individuals will be on this team. Even though I do expect Matthew Stafford to have a good year, because I agree with you, Max, he is better than the numbers would indicate. 282 career touchdowns, 144 interceptions, not even a 2-to-1 TD to turnover ratio. But that ain't his fault. You know, in the 12 seasons that he's been quarterbacking in the National Football League, 8 times he's had a losing season. We know that's not his fault. We know that's an organizational thing. The Detroit Lions have just been an embarrassment. We understand that. And they should have never hired Matt Patricia, as far as I'm concerned, or at least got rid of him a hell of a lot earlier than they ended up doing. So all of those things taken into consideration contributed to the lack of production on the part of Matthew Stafford. Anybody who knows football knows he can ball, so I'm not here to throw any shade on him. I just think those other names are going to come to the forefront, especially a member of his own team, which is Aaron Donald.
See, I don't think so because he's on defense. When I Steven, off the top of my head, I don't remember a defensive player since Lawrence Taylor in 86 when they won the Super Bowl winning the MVP award. I don't know if you can off the top of your head, but I can't think of any defensive player who's won it.
But I've heard Aaron Donald considered on many occasions. Aaron Donald's been considered. His name has been thrown in the hat continuously.
But that's my point, really, that LT won it because Phil Simms was a very good quarterback, but he wasn't an MVP caliber player. Mm. If someone like, Ray Lewis or someone like that, that's because he didn't win an MVP, but if he's being considered, it's because Flacco, like Simms, those are big-time playoff quarterbacks, but they're not regular season type MVPs. Aaron Donald was getting a lot of consideration because Goff really wasn't an MVP caliber player. My point is, we're going to find out about Stafford, at least in the regular season. If he puts up the numbers I think he's going to put up, then the way you think of Stafford's going to change, because he's always been considered elite arm talent, just not in the right situation, so it hasn't quite translated. With McVay and this Rams offense, we're going to find out. My guess is, at least in the regular season, the way we're thinking about Stafford is going to change. He will be thought of the way, let's say, Matt Ryan at least was thought of a couple years ago in Atlanta. And I think because that's not like a Goff-level guy where the attention automatically goes to Aaron Donald, more like it's just hard for defensive players to win MVP, especially if a great team has a quarterback at MVP level. I think that's going to be the situation on the Rams.
Okay.
All right. By the way, you asked earlier, LT, you were correct. Max is the last defensive player to win MVP. So that's quite a while ago.